And it's an honor again to stand here. As Pierre was saying, it's something that's been on my heart for a while. But maybe true to my personality, I want to start in a very different kind of way. So I want to show you guys a little video. And the video is something really maybe not fitting. Maybe I'll explain the method and the madness afterwards. So the video is about a bunny. And the bunny is being chased by two vicious dogs. So I would need your help to cheer on the little guy so that he can run away from the dogs. So can I count on you for that? If you guys can do a little bit of sound there as well. Freedom. The bunny wins. I know that is a very, very weird way to start a service. But when I saw this, I could identify with this little bunny. Because I thought to myself, those dogs that was behind him was my sin and my past. And I was running in every single direction that I could find, but I didn't run to God. And that little bunny was running into corners all over the place, but the dogs kept coming. But finally, he ran into the forest, which I believe symbolizes the arms of God. So I was the bunny. Maybe you sit here today and you can think, maybe I was a bunny too at some stage of my life. And those dogs will keep on coming until you run into the arms of God. Because the Bible say, come to me for you that are weary, and I will give you rest. So thank you for cheering the bunny, because now that the bunny is saved, also the angels in heaven are rejoicing for every soul that are saved. And the same way you were saved when you were running away from your dogs is the way that everybody was cheering now for that little guy. So thank you for that. the bunny wins freedom. So for today, I really thought I wanted to share something that's close to my heart, because as you all know, for those of you that know me and Natcha, I was only baptized in February of 2019. And by that time, I was walking a road with New Life Church. I think there's a few old New Lifers here. Who are you guys? Marissa and them. So I was walking a road with Pastor Dimitri, and he baptized me in 2019. And the message that I dubbed it Back to Basics, because there's a lot of things that I wish I knew a lot sooner. But again, every person's journey is different. And maybe there's somebody here today that I can share something that I wish I knew a few years ago. And then if you could take those little golden nuggets home with you, that'll make your journey smoother or get you closer to God in some way. So I really hope that that could happen. So it's a personal testimony called Back to Basics. But also, I want to just highlight a few people that have nudged me in the right direction, that have shaped my Christian journey. And there are many. I cannot name them all today. One of them that stands out is Pastor Dimitri, because he and I did walk a long road before he baptized me in 2019. And one of the things that he told me is actually a little bit, not childlike, but it stuck with me. It's picture one. He said that the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, stands for the basic instruction before leaving earth. And that stuck with me, because if you really think about it, it is so true. Thank you. It is so true. Basic instruction before leaving earth. What do you base your life on? You're not going to get closer to God by reading the sports channels. And there's nothing wrong with reading the sports channels. I'm just saying, if you base your life on the Word of God, you'll become close to Him. And because the Word says, seek me and you will find me. And you're not going to find Him in the sports magazines, but you will find Him in the Word. So the fact that Dimitri said, basic instruction before leaving earth, it stuck with me. And I will never forget it. So when he baptized me and we walked the road, I was also reminded, long before I got baptized, the very first Sunday that Nacho and I walked into New Life Church, the first Sunday, I don't know Pastor Dimitri at all, he said, halfway through the service, everybody make little groups and you're now going to confess your sins to one another. Now I'm telling you, if you're not saved yet and you walk for the first time into a church and the pastor says, turn around and confess your sins, that's daunting. Why I love that, because he taught us something that day, which I only really got later in life. If you bring something to the light and you confess your sins to one another, there's a shift and there's something that falls off you. Not only that, if you are the person that are willing to share and confess your sins, it's got a domino effect, because there are many others that maybe are struggling with the same thing or keeping the same thing in their heart. So if you're the one that's bold enough to say, I'm struggling with this, or I did X, Y, and Z, maybe there's four others that will say, because you broke your silence, we also feel the need to do that. There's freedom in that, the same freedom that little bunny found when he ran into the forest. I know it was a funny way to start, but he really think about it. He ran for his life. And if you're not saved, you will keep running and you will not find peace, because there's a void in your heart that only God can fill. There's a void in your heart that only the Holy Spirit can fill and lead your life. And if it's not filled by the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus, you will forever and ever run like that little guy. So, Pastor Dimitri. Then, someone else that also really influenced me, some of you know him, Tony Fiammingo. He's Tony is the kind of guy, as you know, that reflects Jesus. He's the kind of guy that will get in his car and drive all over the city to go and have a coffee with you and tell you that Jesus loves you. Not once, not twice, four times a month. But Tony didn't save me. Jesus saved me. But Tony reflected Jesus. And that for me was something. But as Dimitri will stick with me, the way he loved me is something that will stick with me. And now it is my turn to see who can I drive around all over town and go and have a coffee, because we have to pay it forward as Christians. So, you know, I was... before I got diagnosed with asthma, I was in hospital a few times, and I remember three times actually in ICU. And just to build on what I just said, and you know, every single time, you normally wake up and the first thing you see is the doctor or the nurse. In my case, I woke up and I saw Tony and others, but that's what you're all called to do. My brother, some time ago, I did a testimony and I shared with you how my brother actually saved my life. I tried to commit suicide, many, many years ago, and God, the Holy Spirit, told him to go back home from his work day, and he saved my life. So my brother is also somebody that are one of these influential people in my life. So in 2018, in the same time of New Life Church, my brother, Donnie, called me and he said, I'm flying down to Cape Town. I'm going to want to see a service from a pastor by the name of Torben Sondergaard. What? He says the pastor is from Denmark, and he's coming here to do a service, and he based his congregation on the Book of Acts. At that stage, I've never even read the Book of Acts. And maybe if you can just put up the picture too of. So this is his church. It's called the Last Reformation, and in the corner there you can see it says like in the Book of Acts. So my brother and I went to the service. Thank you. And I met him, and he had a powerful service. And basically he said that he read the Book of Acts, and he saw his church and the churches around him does not reflect the early church. And there's a lot of corruption in the church where he was in Europe. So he started his own walk. Fast forward, Pastor Demetrius said to us at one stage, look, our church, New Life, is now going to be coming together with Joshua Generation Church. I thought, what name is that? But okay. So Demetrius said, go and research Joshua Generation, and we have to make a decision as a church. And lo and behold, the first thing I read about Joshua Generation is the fact that it's based on the Book of Acts, and that they base their way of life, the church life, theology, everything on the early church. And for me, there was a little light bulb moment that went on. And I then also read the rest of the Book of Acts, and I was amazed. So these men that shaped my journey, Dimitri, Tony, my brother, Torben, none of them saved me. Jesus saved me. But all four of them reflected Jesus. And this is something, it's a big part of the message in the sense of, who are you representing Jesus to? Because if you are going around in a judgmental way, telling people that they are doing wrong, you're not maybe reflecting Jesus in the right way. If you are trying to correct someone, we have to do it in love. And not to hate the sinner, but hate the sin. Love the sinner. It's a big difference. So these men exactly did that. But if you look at the Book of Acts, the story of Torben Sondergaard, he was so successful with his ministry in Denmark that he got arrested. He got actually noticed by the government, the very anti-Christian government of Denmark, and he got persecuted. He got arrested. And he was told not to carry on with his ministry because of, they said, child indoctrination, because he was baptizing children. He was spreading the word of God. He had a huge following. And he got persecuted so much that he had to flee. So he fled to America. If you can maybe just put the picture up of the gentleman. Yes, so that is Torben. And when he went to America, he was there for just shy of a year. And the people that persecuted him in America, in Denmark, conspired with some people in America. And they arrested him. They revoked his visa. And he spent 412 days in jail, removed from his family, there in limbo, and the church supported the family. The church came together and supported the family for that amount of time. True to his nature, he converted the whole jail, and he was then released after that amount of time. You can look at his website and read about his story. Thank you, you can take it down. But this gentleman had such an impact on me, same as the other men that I mentioned, because I met him, it became personal, and the next thing I hear, he's been persecuted. We all hear about what's happening in Nigeria. We hear what is happening even in South Africa. Two Sundays ago, we heard that the government wants to start telling us what we can preach and who can preach, etc. Persecution is coming. It's coming, and it can come in different forms. Now, hearing this story, the question that I also want to ask to you guys are, how ready are you for persecution? Remember, the people in the book of Acts, immediately after Jesus went up to heaven, just before he went up to heaven, he told them, they hated me, and if you follow me, they will also hate you. They persecuted me, and if you follow me, you will also be persecuted. And immediately, almost, after he went up to heaven, the apostles became persecuted. And can you imagine being in the upper room, scared with them? And the next thing, there's the sound of a rushing wind and flames of fire. And the next thing, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they became bold. And they became very powerful in spreading the word of God. Within 30 years, the book of Acts spans about 30 years. At the end of that 30 years, the word of God was all over the known world at the time, aka the Roman Empire. By those men, they were bold enough to do it. But some of them got immediately jailed, flogged, beaten. And then they said, we'll release you, but you're not allowed to go and preach the word again. What did they do? They went back to the square and they started preaching again. And they said that we count ourselves worthy and lucky that we were being persecuted and beaten for his name. So now, you ask, why are these men so infatuated, including the Church of Just Jane and me, hopefully you guys, with the book of Acts? Because the book of Acts is the early church, the way they were so hungry and they were so bold. They walked with Jesus for so long. They saw him crucified. They saw him resurrected. They ate with him. They touched him. They saw him go up to heaven. And now they are preaching his word. They were beaten. They were persecuted. So I guess what I'm trying to say and ask the question, when persecution comes to your door, in whatever shape or form, and it will, how bold are we going to be? And will we also count ourselves worthy that we are able to do this for his name? So let's read Acts 2. 42-47, we all know this scripture. It's a little bit smaller then. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. That was the early church. Not warming a seat on a Sunday morning or warming a seat on a Sunday afternoon. It's the way they lived. It's what they did. It was the middle point, the center point of their existence. Everything else was secondary. Everything. And now I understand why Torben Sonnegaard sat there and he read the book of Acts and he looked at the church in where he was and he said, it's not the same. And he went out. What happened to him? He was persecuted. But today, his message is spread all over the world. And the early church will forever and ever be an inspiration for all of us. If we read the book of Acts 5, verse 40-42, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy for suffering disgrace for the name. So day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They ran to God every single time. They didn't try and find anything else to comfort them. But can you imagine this? They didn't have the book of Acts. They were the book of Acts. They were writing the book of Acts with their very lives. And then They were rejoicing because they were beaten, but they were with him. They saw him crucified. They saw him resurrected. And they saw him going up. What could stop them? What is stopping us? They were devoted in the highest degree. I don't know how else to say the word devoted. They were devoted. Are we devoted? Are we willing to do what they have done in the modern day life? So, just something that I love to, I remember in the beginning, I ask a lot of questions, especially for the Old Testament, and I realized in the end, some things, it doesn't matter how old the earth is and how old, or whether the new earth or young earth, but there are some stories in the Old Testament that are cross-referencing with Scripture in the New Testament. And this is applicable to what we've just been saying. So in the book of Numbers, I don't know how many of you guys know this. If you read the book of Numbers, it's a bit boring, especially the first part, where they tell you how to camp and all the different numbers, etc., etc. But what I didn't know is that through Moses, God told the Israelites to set up the camp in such a way that it forms a cross. So if you had a drone shot, like the bunny, if you had a drone shot of the camp, it was in the form of a cross. Maybe you could just put that up. Yeah, that's just an example of what it must look like. But what is in the middle? The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant, God will dwell with his people. So the apostles started teaching because they had the Holy Spirit in their hearts. The Israelites camped around the presence of God. Thank you. You can take that down. They camped around the presence of God. And they moved with the Ark of the Covenant in their middle. So the question is, again, do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Or do you move like they moved with the presence of God in your life? So, sticking to the book of Numbers, a story that ties into this is when we know that the Israelites from time to time were not very obedient. And after walking in the desert, they complained to Moses. And they said that they have been walking a lot. They tired of the miraculous manna that they're getting. And God sent poisonous snakes in between them. And some of them got bitten and died. And they were very quick to go back to Moses and say, please help us. We repent. We spoke against you and against God. So God said to Moses that he must make a bronze snake and put it on a stick and put it up. And whoever looks at the stick, at the snake, will be healed from the snake bites. And when I first heard this, it didn't really make sense to me. However, we all know the famous scripture in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. But who knows the scripture of John 3 verse 14? John 3 verse 14 says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up for us to be saved. When you've got Jesus in your heart and you confess with your lips, you repent and you're baptized, you will be saved. So Jesus was referencing the book of Numbers with the story of Moses. For me, it really ties together because the same way that the bunny was lost, but the bunny ran eventually to the arms of Jesus, and the bunny was free. The apostles were scared. They were sat in the upper room, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they became bold, and they spread the word of God. The Israelites camped around the presence of God. They moved with the presence of God, but the moment they were not with him, that's when trouble starts. So it's the same question I'm asking for us. Where in your life are you at the moment? Are you camping far away from his presence? Are you running around and not running in the forest? Or are you not sure yet whether you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? Because if you don't, there's an opportunity after the service for prayer. Because nothing else matters. The sports magazines doesn't matter. The book, the Bible matters. So, if I can ask Keith to come up, maybe just for a little bit of time of ministry, because I wish I knew that all the time when I was a youngster and doing all sorts of different things, that somebody, that I met these key people in my life, that they could have taken me by the hand and led me to a place where I could go into the arms of Jesus. But I had to walk my walk, and it only came later for me. So I really wish that today there's someone here, maybe more than one person, that feel that he's been running around, that like little bunny, and that you are scared. You're sitting in the upper room. You haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, because it will change everything. Your life will change for the better. The Israelites camped around the Ark of the Covenant. Where are you camping? The apostles received the Holy Spirit and they turned the world around. They were bold. So, Jesus is love. And back to basics for me is love your God, number one. And number two, love your neighbor. For me, that is the essence of back to basics. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him or belittle him or gossip from your neighbor. You want the best for your neighbor because you want the best for yourself. So, the Lord, we said it earlier, Jesus loved us first. And he will never force you to love him. He's longing for that. And softly and tenderly, he will knock on your heart every single day until you repent and turn to him. Confess your sins. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. And you will be saved. But also, you will be changed. He changed me. And he changed many of you. And I actually want to ask now, I know it is a short message, but it's from my heart. So, if you are here today and you are strong and you're willing to give, to help someone with prayer, I want to ask you now to stand up and stand there in the corner. And if you're here today and you feel that you need prayer because you don't know where you are, then please, because nothing else matters. Nothing. I'm telling you, you can run around, but before you feel the love of God, you will run around. Before you feel what it feels like to be forgiven, before you feel that you look at strangers and you believe, and you think, but I love this person. You don't know them from a bar of soap. You just want to help them. You can see through them. You can see their suffering. Jesus came to set the captives free. Key word. So if you're here today and you feel that you are being held captive, and this can be many things, whether it's gossip or drugs or pornography or whatever, everyone and every single one of us has got a story. Every single one of us ran around like that bunny. But the bunny found freedom because he ran into the forest. The bunny found freedom. So let them go and sort that out. I want to ask, please, if you're here today and you're strong and you can help someone with prayer, please get up now and stand there in the corner. And if you are here today and you feel that you want, that you need help, that you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you are here and you feel that you have not yet have received Jesus in your heart, please go to our fellow Christians and ask for prayer. And thank you for listening to my message. Amen.